Starter Mr. Ron Porter has the button. First out of Tun Curry on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. They're set and they're racing. The Hankinator was a little slow to get moving out the back with Our Dragon Heart, and towards the centre, Jackknife and Johnny G broke the line running. Princess Keeping from the deep is pressing forward, and Tanami Gold will settle down just off the speed in fourth spot. Next, one off the fence was the Hankinator, and Thunder Cove has caught out three wide. A couple further back to Liberty Park and Our Dragon Heart.
Legendary racehorse trainer Bart Cummings has died at the age of 87.
It's Princess Keeping, one off the inside. Johnny G, the lamplighter, joined three wide by Thunder Cove as they run up towards the home turn. Liberty Park races next, and Tongue and Groove is slicing.
Australian journalist Peter Grester is expected to speak today about the three-year sentence handed down by an Egyptian court to him and two colleagues for supporting terrorism. Mr. Grester slammed the verdict shortly after it was announced last night, saying he, Canadian national Mohamed Fahmy, and Egyptian producer Baya Mohamed had done nothing wrong and were convicted purely because of politics. The three men were charged with airing falsified footage intended to damage national security and with being part of ousted President Mohamed Morsi's Muslim Brotherhood, which is considered a terrorist organisation, after the upmarket hotel suite being used by Al Jazeera to report from in Egypt was raided in 2013. Mr. Grester has told Al Jazeera he will continue to fight to clear his name and those of his colleagues. Thousands of anti-government protesters have gathered in Kuala Lumpur demanding the resignation of the Malaysian Prime Minister. Najib Razak denies allegations of corruption sparked by a $700 million payment made to his bank account from unnamed foreign donors believed to be in the Middle East. Despite a police ban, a two-day rally against the government is going ahead, with one protester telling the BBC democracy is dead in Malaysia and calling the government thieves.
The economy is in debtors, the democracy is gone in this country. There is no freedom of anything in this country. The current government is robbing the nation of everything it has got.
A Texas sheriff's deputy has been shot from behind while stopping to refuel his patrol car. Police say the gunman came up from behind and opened fire on 47-year-old Darren Goforth at a petrol station in Houston on Friday night. A suspect is in custody over the shooting. Turkish fighter planes have for the first time participated in US-led coalition airstrikes against Islamic State targets in Syria. Turkey last month launched what it called a war on terror on two fronts, against Islamic State jihadists and also against Kurdish PKK rebels. Thai police say a Turkish man arrested in connection with the bombing of a Bangkok shrine 2 weeks ago was probably motivated by a personal grudge. The National Police Chief said the 28-year-old was unlikely to be an international terrorist but didn't give further details. The man, the first to be arrested over the bombing in which 20 people died, was arrested in eastern Bangkok after police raided a flat. Four suspects have been remanded in custody by a Hungarian court over the deaths of 71 migrants found in a truck abandoned on an Austrian motorway. The three Bulgarians and one Afghan will remain in custody until the end of September, while prosecutors decide what to charge them with. Police say the men are likely to be low-ranking members of one of the many people smuggling gangs which prey on migrants wanting to get to Western Europe. Also in news, a 4-year-old girl is fighting for her life in hospital and her two siblings are recovering after allegedly being doused in petrol and set alight in Perth. And the ACT government has called on authorities to restrict the airspace above Canberra's prison so drones cannot be used to deliver contraband to inmates. This is Air News. Port Adelaide coach Ken Hinckley refuses to wonder what might have been despite the power finding form after dropping out of the AFL finals race. Port cruised to their fifth win in six games when they downed the Suns by 37 points on the Gold Coast. Hinckley says he's proud of how his players have responded since they crashed out of the top eight calculations. Meanwhile, outgoing interim Carlton coach John Barker believes some of the Blues haven't done enough with the opportunities presented to them by the ailing AFL club's massive list of unavailable players. A vastly understrength Blues side with 19 players missing was outscored 15-3 in the second half by GWS Giants in an 81-point away loss in Sydney. Australia's Jared Talent has claimed the silver medal in the 50-kilometre walk at the World Athletic Championships in Beijing in what he describes to the ABC as very hot conditions.
Very satisfying. I had a tough preparation leading up. Early in the year, wasn't travelling that well, so to come through, get a silver today, I'm really, really stoked, really, really happy. It was brutal conditions out there. It was pretty much just like walking in an oven.
Talent, who's now managed podium finishes at the last three world titles, crossed the line in a time of 3 hours, 42 minutes and 17 seconds to give Australia its second medal of the meet. Also in sport, Cronulla has climbed into the NRL's top four after sneaking away from Parramatta with a 35-28 win, while the Bulldogs beat the Knights 20-18 at Hunter Stadium but lost halfback Trent Hodgkinson with suspected ligament damage to his wrist. Australian Independent Radio News.
Time now for Sydney weather. Becoming cloudy, slight, a 20% chance of a shower along the coastal fringe. Near zero chance elsewhere. Winds south to southwesterly, 20 to 30 kilometres an hour, tending south to southeasterly in the early afternoon, then tending south to southwesterly, 15 to 25 kilometres an hour in the evening. Large and powerful surf conditions are expected to be hazardous for coastal activities such as rock fishing, swimming and surfing. A maximum of 19 degrees in the city. Raymond, what about out of Penrith?
Penrith, mild and 19 degrees.
Your company over the next 3 hours on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, but unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we come to you today with very solemn news, and that is in relation to the passing of an Australian sporting icon, a legend of the Australian turf, and a man that was, well, he was very close to you, Ray Thomas, and you interviewed him, I think you mentioned, over 100 times. James Bartholomew Cummings, the Cups King, has unfortunately passed away overnight, and Ray, I think that's going to cast a pall over the entire, well, industry today and the next week, but certainly over this program. Good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, look, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, well spoken, Jim. He was one of the legends of not only Australian racing, but Australian sport.
Yes.
And he was a trainer who achieved worldwide fame, and remarkably, he was told as a teenager to stay away from horses because he was allergic to horses and loosen, but Bart Cummings often said he preferred the company of horses to people.
Mm.
You said I knew him well. I don't know if anyone actually knew Bart Cummings well, Jim. He wasn't a man who let you in very easily.
Right.
But he was a man that once he took you into his confidence, he didn't say a lot. He didn't waste words, but you hung on every word he said. And when it came to matters of racing and indeed matters of life, he was an extremely wise and intelligent man, but a remarkable horse trainer. Mm. His record is truly Bradman-esque, Jimmy.
Well, what are the numbers explicitly?
Okay, 268 Group 1s, including two with his grandson, James Cummings.
Yes.
Now, of those 266 Group 1s he won on his own, he won 12 Melbourne Cups. Now, I know, Jim, people say records are made to be broken. That record will never be broken, Jim.
The never? Next,
ever. And I'll stand by that. And the next best is five. To win a Melbourne Cup's a remarkable achievement in the
true
modern era. To win 12, and five of those were Quinellas, is quite incredible. As I said, 268 Group 1. He started training in 1953. His father and grandfather were trainers. His father, of course, trained Comet Court to win the 1950 Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
Bart strapped Comet Court that day.
Wow.
3 years later, took out his own trainer's license, won his first major, an SA Derby with a horse called Stormy Passage in 1958, and he was still winning Group 1 races to this year.
Mm.
He was a co-trainer, of course, of Hello Crown, which won the Randwick Guineas back in the autumn, and the only trainer to win premierships in Sydney, Melbourne and Adelaide. He was the first trainer to train $1 million in prize money back in 1974. He beat the great T.J. Smith, his
arch rival.
Yeah, by about an hour that day. And he trained probably more champions than anyone else in Australian racing history, right through to arguably his best horse, So You Think. Bart was never one to compare, but he always had Galilee and Saintly right at the top of the tree, and I think So You Think was was nudging them when he won his second Cox Plate. A remarkable man. He's left a remarkable legacy. His son Anthony is still a leading trainer in Sydney. James has taken over the training business as originally as a co-trainer with Bart. Now
yes.
He'll take it over on his own. And another brother, another one of Anthony's sons, Edward, currently works closely with Anthony, and I'm sure Edward will one day be a trainer and a very good one in his own right.
You mentioned the horses that were under Bart's care. What about the people that were under Bart's care? We're going to speak to John O'Shea today, of course. He's another one that has benefited from the experience and the knowledge of Bart Cummings. What about some others?
Look, so many great trainers came through, Bart. You mentioned John O'Shea. Guy Walter. Guy Walter strapped Think Big back in 1974, I think his first cup.
Wow.
Guy Walter had quite long hair at the time. Leon Corson, so many trainers worked with Bart. Nigel Blackiston, they all came through. And they didn't work with Bart, they watched Bart. I remember Lee Friedman saying about Melbourne Cups, he said, well, I've watched Bart Cummings for the last 10 years. You think I'd find a trick or two? And he was just a remarkable man in so many ways. And the way he would prepare a horse for a race, Jim, it's like an artist with a
paintbrush. Yeah.
It is. You can just see it just developing bit by bit, and how he managed to get a horse to peak on the big day is an art in itself, and no one was better at it than Bart Cummings.
Well, take your best Bart memories today. It is a day for memories. 1353 53 is the open line number. 0419 SMS BSB. That's 0419 767 272. And if you can get us on Twitter as well, at Big Sports WEND. Already, people sending in their thoughts. Ray, good morning, boys. RIP JB Cummings. I'm tipping Bart is in heaven, throwing a saddle over my favourite horse, Saintly. Cheers, Brett from Broadbeach. Well said, Brett. And we'll have those throughout the course of the morning.
And here's one from Paul from Wagga. I think Paul summed it up so well, Jimmy. Hi, boys. I don't follow horse racing, but every year around Melbourne Cup Day, I always have a dollar on Bart's horse, whoever it may be. That is the effect he has had on Australians. RIP Bart. That's so true, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Pete, once a year punters back Bart Cummings in the Melbourne Cup. His last runner yesterday was a horse called Sultry Feeling, which won at Rose Hill.
Unbelievable.
James wasn't there, and the talk at the track then was that
things weren't good.
Things weren't good, and sadly he has passed away overnight.
Very sad news, and condolences from everyone here at the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend to the Cummings family. We have got a show to get through today. We'll have all the regulars here. We'll have our event cinemas to our best caller today. We've got double gold pass for event cinemas, courtesy of event cinemas at Parramatta. We'll have our tab voucher questions as well for your chance to win a $50 voucher. That'll be a question in each hour of the program. You need to be listening all the way through. We're going to listen to American Pharoah. Have a run today in the Travers Stakes, and we'll get you to listen to that as well. John O'Shea, I mentioned, is going to be on the program. Exciting with Exosphere yesterday, the performance there. And David Van Dyke has a pretty smart horse in Emerald City. We'll speak to Andy Pascalides from the world of football. Sam Clipperton, a couple of winners for Sam yesterday. Zorba will be on the line. I've got no doubt Zorba will have a JB Cummings story, and we'll have our Z&Z quiz. We'll go inside the Sharks camp as well after they struggled to beat Parramatta yesterday.
You were there yesterday, Jim?
Yeah, they got there in the end, but tell you what, it was a tough one for them.
Parramatta, what do you make? Is it almost a year of what might have been for them? Because they've tested some of the top clubs in the competition, and at other times they've just gone missing. But again, yesterday, they were in that ball game right to the end, Jim.
In and out of the game. In and out of the game at different stages, playing really good football. Then, and you've got to remember, they lost Manu Ma'u and Tepo Moroa, halfway through the game. So that's a big part of their side out. They had two men on the bench, and they almost got there against a side that's now in the top four, Sharkies fans. Can you believe it? Dean Bulldog Richie's having a break today. I don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing. But we've got David Riccio in, who is the sports editor of the Sunday Telegraph, is that right?
Used to be.
Oh.
But went back
to... We've demoted him, haven't we?
Oh, no. He wanted to go back to writing.
Oh, okay.
When you say Dino's number one, that's why I always say he's equal number one.
Dean makes us say he's number one.
Okay, well, I'd like to say he's equal number one with men like Dave Riccio. So we're losing nothing there.
We'll get Dave Riccio on the line today as well. Trent Lansgale from tab.com.au will get a sports update from Tanya. We're going to have a chat with Leon Cameron, GWS. Big win. Too far? Can they do it?
No, they can't.
No. Yeah.
But if you would have said at the start of this, they could win their last game and finish with 12 wins. If you would have said that to Leon Cameron at the start of the year, he would have taken it, and most people would have had them in the finals, but they'll just miss out this year. But they've already won 11 matches, which is a fantastic achievement, Jim. They are an emerging force in Aussie rules.
And I know all clubs have their issues, but they had experienced players go down with injury at
Mumford
the most
was the big one.
Inopportune times too. So we'll speak to Leon Cameron about that. Most of all, we want to speak to you about Bart Cummins, about anything that's happening in the world of sport. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break and take some calls after that.
Sky Sports Radio brought you all the action of Greyhound Racing's national championships from Wentworth Park.
But the golden girl of Greyhound Racing coming away. Sweet It Is brilliant.
Sweet It Is was incredible, and so too sprinting sensation Fernando Bale, who led all the way to be crowned national sprint champion. Catch Greyhound Racing every day on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Stop talking about it, just do it. That's right, book now for the International Race Week in Hong Kong. Leaving December 8th, all the details are looked after by Ambassador Travel. It's first class the whole way. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday night, and also for International Day at Sha Tin on the Sunday. There's the sightseeing tours to Macau. Venture up to Mission Hills for some golf to test the best. In between, grab all the bargains and knock over the Christmas shopping. You can also extend to mainland China. Call Ambassador Travel now, 1-800-777-989, or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
Vivit is here. Now is the time to enjoy Coco Joy's range of all-natural coconut-based products. There's Coco Joy 100% coconut water, full of goodness. Then there's Coco Joy coconut milk in classic chocolate, coffee, and banana without the dairy. There's Coco Joy Kids featuring the magical Disney and Marvel characters. Latest in the range are Coco Joy oil and flour for guilt-free cooking. Discover Coco Joy's range at a store near you or at cocojoy.com.
Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. You can call us on 1353 53. SMS on 0419 767 272. As Jimmy alluded to earlier, so much to talk about in sport today. But, Jimmy, obviously the passing of Bart Cummins, will it'll be massive news right around the sporting world.
Absolutely. We've got Jared Hayne, who's going to play his third trial game at 11 o'clock this morning. We've got the massive Robbie Farah issue at the West Tigers, which we're going to get to a little bit later on as well. We've got a further sad news during the week with the passing of the great Arthur Morris, legendary Australian opening batsman. And, of course, other big news
is American Pharaoh's about to race.
American Pharaoh's about to race, and Sam Burgess has made the 31-man squad. A fair bit of controversy around that, him making the squad in England as well. A lot of people suggesting, well, he's not one of the four best centres in the country.
They made a big investment there. What about the passing, the announcement of the Wallabies squad, and no James Horwell?
No, Nick White.
No, Nick White. Oh, the two massive omissions. But James Horwell, we had on the show after they lost the Bledisloe Cup in New Zealand a couple of weeks ago, Jim, and I think everyone had him penciled in to go on the World Cup tour, but sadly, he's missed out.
Things been dominated by Bart Cummins this morning, as you would expect. SMS here, so sad to hear Bart Cummins passed overnight. Surprisingly, he was a man who was allergic to horses, but realised horses are more than just animals, and he treated and cared for them as if they were humans, and that was the key to his success. Craig from Tamworth, and that's a 100%. Theme. That's a theme that we've had coming through very strongly this morning. 1353 53 is that open line number, and we're going to go to Chris right now. G'day, Chris.
How you going, guys?
Really well, Chris.
It's a real, as a horse racing person, I mean, I've grown up with horse racing. I love it. But I think Bart transcends horse racing. I think he's actually a national treasure.
Absolutely,
I can't really imagine a Melbourne Cup without Bart. I remember a couple of years ago when he was crook, when his health started to go into decline. I think it was Mark Cavanagh said, well, if he doesn't come to the Melbourne Cup, we might as well not bother opening the gates.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be that sort of feeling this year, around Melbourne Cup time in particular. You know, he's just been a you know, just a remarkable person. Okay, his records are never going to be eclipsed, but as a person as well, he is a national treasure. Yeah. He's an icon.
He certainly is. I'm absolutely devastated
by the whole thing. I know it's coming, but geez, it's hard when it happens.
It certainly is, Chris. And yeah,
some of my memories, I think. I loved a couple of his comments. I remember once he was standing next to Darren Biedman during the saintly years when Biedman was going to leave racing, and you know, and Biedman was standing next to Bart saying, "Well, God is calling me. God is calling me. I have to." And they said to Bart, "What do you think?" And Bart said, "I think he needs a second opinion." And my other one was, what was it, the blowflies in the stables when the stewards came to look at his stables and they said, "You've got too many blowflies," and his response was, "Well, how many am I supposed to have?"
That's correct. He was great with the one-liners.
That's just classic Bart. And I loved the years with So You Think, because he got another champion and he probably got the best horse he ever had. And I think it rejuvenated Bart as well. I mean, he had, like, Let's Elope also, that year of Let's Elope, Ray, when, you know, she was a phenomenon when he got her from New Zealand, when he leased her from New Zealand, or they gave him to her for that year.
And that's what he could do, couldn't he, Chris and Jimmy? He had an ability to get a horse and just, like, Let's Elope came from virtually nothing, and in one spring, reeled off for Turnbull Stakes, Caulfield Cup, McKinnon Stakes and Melbourne Cup. And
what was that? What year?
1991. And prior to coming to Bart's for that spring, she hadn't done a lot in New Zealand. And she got into the cups with a lightweight, but Bart identified almost straight away that he was a race mare with great staying talent, and in a matter of weeks he transformed her into this absolute champion who just dominated the spring.
Twitter's lit up as well, at Big Sports WEND, if you want to send us a note. A lot of people have. Martin has said, Bart was the Bradman of horse racing, a freak, a legend, an immortal of the sport, memories that will never, ever be forgotten. Dwayne says, apart from his magnificent training record, Bart's quick wit and dry humour is what I look fondly back on. Hashtag RIP Bart. And then Richard says, legend, no more to be said. A record that will never, ever be broken. RIP JB. So a lot of people having their say via social media as well on the passing of Bart Cummins. Who wrote the book?
A Melbourne journalist. Les Cullen wrote a couple of books, but there was one called My Life, which was Bart Cummings' words written, ghostwritten by a Melbourne journalist. It'll come to me in a sec.
Right.
That was a fantastic book. Les Cullen probably knew Bart better than any other journo.
Right.
And Les's books on Bart Cummings are eminently readable, as all Les Carvine's books are.
Yeah, true.
But that's one. He was great company. Even when he didn't say much, he just knew that Bart would say something at some time about any topic, and it would be either hilarious or absolutely worth listening to and taking notice of. And at track work, he wouldn't say a lot, but occasionally he'd just drop a line and he'd just look back and he'd laugh or whatever. And he was just great company, Jim.
Had a touch of the Jack Gibsons about him.
He did, absolutely. But highly intelligent and... He never wastes words, Jim. Even when you're interviewing for an article in the newspaper,
yes,
he didn't waffle. He didn't waste words. He just went straight to the point, and he had a way of cutting to the chase on issues, whether they be controversial or just some of Bartism, so to speak.
Yeah.
They were just great to listen to.
1353 53 is the open line number. Let's go back to callers. Dennis is there. G'day, Dennis.
Hello, mate. How are you going?
Very well.
Mate, I was on the radio this morning just after 4 o'clock or when it came through on another radio station, and I've got tears in my eyes now. And mate, they'll have to hold the funeral at Randwick Racecourse. There'll be so many people that if there's a sporting heaven, mate, he's halfway there, isn't he?
Oh, I think he's already there, isn't he, Dennis?
He's locked in.
Yeah. It's just when I come over yesterday that he won a race with his grandson again, Bowman rode him, and said just the way that he presented the Cummings presented the horses and whatever. How do you say goodbye? And he's been in a bit of ill health, and yes, he's not a young man, but
Dennis,
it's
we don't
a sad
really
day for Australia.
We don't really.
About just the sporting fraternity, mate. Everybody loves the Melbourne Cup, and it'll always be, won't it? James Bartholomew coming.
Now, well said, Dennis. You know, we probably don't have to say goodbye in a lot of respects, Jim, because his records and his legacy is going to live on.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. And the Melbourne Cup noms are out on Tuesday. It's almost poignant that he's only a couple of days away and the Cup noms are out. He was, along with James, getting preferment ready for potentially a fifth Melbourne Cup start. Potentially a fifth Melbourne Cup start. And, well, I hope it goes around with with Bart and James coming still as the official trainer, Jim.
That'd be a nice touch, wouldn't it? Look, I know yesterday at Pirtek Stadium they had a moment to pause and applaud for the passing of Ron Bowden, who was player number 184 for the Parramatta Eels, a former Australian rep and former coach too as well, I think captain the side, and of course Johnny Manor, the Sharks and the Eels playing for the Johnny Manor Cup. And the applause that people gave for 30 seconds was just incredible, really uplifting, rather than the silence that we've had at different sporting events. I tell you what, the applause they'll have around Flemington, you know, 3 minutes before the cup runs this year for the life of JB Cummings will be something special. On Bart Cummings, a mild-mannered gent, a champion, a legend, RIP racing. And that comes from Adrian via Twitter as well. Here's another one from Anthony. Growing up, always seeing Bart on TV during Melbourne Cup, I asked my dad, who's he? And he replied with, the best.
The best.
RIP Bart. Michael says, when Darren Beedman retired, having found God, Cummings was asked to comment, I'd get a second opinion.
Exactly.
The trainer said, there's that story again.
And there's one here from Tom, my favourite Bart Cummings stories. He mentioned one about the flies, but also in 1967, at the age of eight, much to my mother's horror, I used my pocket money to put 50 cents each way on red-handed in the Melbourne Cup, and it won. Roy Higgins, the late Roy Higgins, told a great story about that Melbourne Cup. Jim, he rode red-handed in 67, and Gala Crest had a much lighter weight, loomed up alongside, put a long neck on red-handed, and looked to have the Cup won. And then Roy Higgins thought, ah, he remembered who trained red-handed, and he kept riding red-handed, and red-handed fought back to win the Cup.
Mm.
Great JB Cummings. Had an amazing way of getting a horse to peak for a big day, particularly the Melbourne Cup.
Some great horses, a great horseman. We're going to see another good horse in action today, the Triple Crown champ, American Pharoah. What are we expecting out of American Pharoah? It's supposed to start about 7:45.
They always run late over there, Jim.
We'll see what time they actually do start, but American Pharoah running in the Travis Stakes, Roman.
Yeah, he's on his way towards the Breeders' Cup, which will be his last race when he takes on the world's best in the Breeders' Cup. He should just win today, Jim. And they said that 15,000 people turned up to watch American Pharoah in track work during the week at Saratoga. He is a phenomenon, probably the likes American Racing hasn't seen since the Great Secretariat.
Yeah, well, we can look forward to that. And that that race is at 7:46 in 18 minutes' time. And fixed odds, $1.25.
Should be.
American Pharoah.
Jimmy, did you see much of the Storm last night? Cowboys?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Actually, watched pretty much all that game.
They were very good, weren't they, the Storm? Very clinical.
Stop press. Jonathan Thurston made an error.
Yeah, he's human after all.
when he
failed to gather the ball in the in goal.
Understand what he was doing, you know, getting out of the in goal area, such a big play in the act of doing so, knocked on, and Will Chambers scored the try, and that made it very hard for them. Bit of controversy in that game with the no try to the Cowboys, and I think it was just on half time. It might have been just after half time. Anyway, it was an incredible bit of play. No surprise that Jonathan Thurston was heavily involved in it as well. The ability to catch and then look to his outside and recognise that there were players unmarked there. The only way he could get the ball to them was a kick. So he did, and they duly scored the try.
It was the try of the season, unfortunately.
Took it all the way back upfield, and I have to say, Gavin Cooper running into Cooper Cronk, I think they got it right.
Right call, yes.
Yeah, right
I think
call.
I text you, try the season,
yes.
I text you, oh no, about a second later,
yes.
Because as soon as you saw the replay, you could see Cooper Cronk. Here's a great one from EJ at Ipswich. Bart, best, awesome, remembered, tragic. RIP Bart Cummings.
Yeah, well done.
Said.
Well done. And here's another one. The Melbourne Cup should be renamed the JBC Melbourne Cup from Racing Pete.
And why not?
I wouldn't have thought that's going to happen, but let's hope it is. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the life and times and the great successes of JB Cummings throughout his training career. We'll also talk lots of other issues in sport. We've got Jared Hayne. He's running around again at 11 a.m. today. He's at Mile High Stadium up there at Colorado. He's playing against the Broncos, Peyton Manning and the team. We'll have that. But right now, we've got the news coming up on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
The Big Sports Breakfast News for Toyota Material Handling.com.au. Australia's first choice in forklifts.
I'm Kim Cartwright.
On Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1, Channel 519,
the Big Sports Breakfast. Cummings' son, Anthony, tweeted the news of his father's passing in the early hours of this morning. He said his father had died peacefully in his sleep, surrounded by family.
Australian journalist Peter Grester is expected to speak today about the three-year sentence handed down by an Egyptian court to him and two colleagues for supporting terrorism. Mr. Grester slammed the verdict shortly after it was announced last night, saying he, Canadian national Mohamed Fahmy, and Egyptian producer Baya Mohamed had done nothing wrong and were convicted purely because of politics. The three men were charged with airing falsified footage intended to damage national security and with being part of ousted President Mohamed Morsi's Muslim Brotherhood, which is considered a terrorist organisation, after the upmarket hotel suite being used by Al Jazeera to report from in Egypt was raided in 2013. Mr. Grester has told Al Jazeera he will continue to fight to clear his name and those of his colleagues. Thousands of anti-government protesters have gathered in Kuala Lumpur demanding the resignation of the Malaysian Prime Minister. Najib Razak denies allegations of corruption sparked by a $700 million payment made to his bank account from unnamed foreign donors believed to be in the Middle East. Despite a police ban, a two-day rally against the government is going ahead, with one protester telling the BBC democracy is dead in Malaysia and calling the government thieves.
The economy is in debtors. The democracy is gone in this country. There is no freedom of anything in this country. The current government is robbing the nation of everything it has got.
A Texas sheriff's deputy has been shot from behind while stopping to refuel his patrol car. Police say the gunman came up from behind and opened fire on 47-year-old Darren Goforth at a petrol station in Houston on Friday night. A suspect is in custody over the shooting. Turkish fighter planes have for the first time participated in US-led coalition airstrikes against Islamic State targets in Syria. Turkey last month launched what it called a war on terror on two fronts against Islamic State jihadists and also against Kurdish PKK rebels. Thai police say a Turkish man arrested in connection with the bombing of a Bangkok shrine 2 weeks ago was probably motivated by a personal grudge. The National Police Chief said the 28-year-old was unlikely to be an international terrorist but didn't give further details. The man, the first to be arrested over the bombing in which 20 people died, was arrested in eastern Bangkok after police raided a flat. Four suspects have been remanded in custody by a Hungarian court over the deaths of 71 migrants found in a truck abandoned on an Austrian motorway. The three Bulgarians and one Afghan will remain in custody until the end of September, while prosecutors decide what to charge them with. Police say the men are likely to be low-ranking members of one of the many people smuggling gangs which prey on migrants wanting to get to Western Europe. Also in news, a four-year-old girl is fighting for her life in hospital and her two siblings are recovering after allegedly being doused in petrol and set alight in Perth. And the ACT government has called on authorities to restrict the airspace above Canberra's prison so drones cannot be used to deliver contraband to inmates. This is Air News. Adelaide coach Ken Hinckley refuses to wonder what might have been despite the power finding form after dropping out of the AFL finals race. Port cruised to their fifth win in six games when they downed the Suns by 37 points on the Gold Coast. Hinckley says he's proud of how his players have responded since they crashed out of the top eight calculations. Meanwhile, outgoing interim Carlton coach John Barker believes some of the Blues haven't done enough with the opportunities presented to them by the ailing AFL club's massive list of unavailable players. A vastly understrength Blues side with 19 players missing was outscored 15-3 in the second half by GWS Giants in an 81-point away loss in Sydney. Australia's Jared Talent has claimed the silver medal in the 50-kilometre walk at the World Athletic Championships in Beijing in what he describes to the ABC as very hot conditions.
Very satisfying. I had a tough preparation leading up. Early in the year, wasn't travelling that well, so to come through, get a silver today, I'm really, really stoked, really, really happy. It was brutal conditions out there. It was pretty much just like walking in an oven.
Talent, who's now managed podium finishes at the last three world titles, crossed the line in a time of 3 hours, 42 minutes and 17 seconds to give Australia its second medal of the meet. Also in sport, Cronulla has climbed into the NRL's top four after sneaking away from Parramatta with a 35-28 win, while the Bulldogs beat the Knights 20-18 at Hunter Stadium but lost halfback Trent Hodgkinson with suspected ligament damage to his wrist. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's becoming... Sydney is becoming cloudy with a slight chance of a shower along the coastal fringe, a near zero chance elsewhere. Large and powerful surf conditions are expected to be hazardous for coastal activities such as rock fishing, swimming and surfing. So be careful. Sydney, partly cloudy, but a maximum of 19. Jimmy, what about out at Campbelltown today?
Campbelltown, it's going to be a little bit breezy and brisk, 18 degrees.
On your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Big half hour coming up this time as well. We'll continue taking calls and emails and tweets about the great JB Cummings. 1353 53 is that open line number. We'll have a chat with John O'Shea very shortly as well. We'll get some scratchings from Tanya for the race meetings in New South Wales today. It's amazing how the world moves on, isn't it? Even with the passing of a legend like JB Cummings. We've got our first question for our $50 tab voucher. And that first question is, what did the rider of Red Handed, Roy Higgins, say to himself when headed by Gala Quest in the
1967 Cup?
In the 1967 Melbourne Cup, what did Red Handed's jockey Roy Higgins say to himself when headed by Gala Quest in the 1967 Melbourne Cup? Remember, don't call now. Wait till you get your third question. That'll happen in the final hour of the program. 1353 53, the open line number. Before we go to John O'Shea, who had a good day yesterday at Rose Hill Gardens. Morning, boys. Loving all the stories of Bart. Man is a true Australian legend. Bradman, Lindrum, Cummings.
That's about right, Jim.
He was sort of like from that era, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Well, you born feel? In 27, 1927. Yeah. And as I said, he strapped Comet Court in the 1950 Melbourne Cup. Is from great images of a very youthful Bart Cummings.
Yeah, right.
Leading Comet Court back in, past the Flemington Roses. And
he had the beautiful dark wavy hair,
yeah,
didn't he?
He always had good thick hair right through his life. And I think that was a day he decided, I better be a horse trainer, because his dad won the Cup. Up until then, he was happy to work with his father, but he took out a license 3 years later. Also, Jimmy, it was on Friday that he had his 61st wedding anniversary to his lovely wife, Val May. So I don't know if Val May will be listening now, but if she is, our thoughts and condolences to you and to all the family. And yep, we've lost a true legend, Jimmy. But yesterday, as you said, life goes on. Yesterday at Rose Hill, saw a couple of really impressive winners for the Godolphin team and John O'Shea. Magic Hurricane won the Premier's Cup, and then this giant of a colt, Exosphere. Yeah. He's not yet three by birth date, but he already weighs 600 kilos. He's a monster of a colt. He's big on size and big on talent. And John O'Shea has been good enough to join us on a solemn morning. John, good morning.
You there, John?
Yeah, mate.
Gotcha.
Yeah, good morning, John. We're just saying about Exosphere. He's a huge colt, but he's got a lot of talent as well.
John, are you hearing Ray?
No, mate, I'm not. Buddy.
Okay, all right. Before we get to Exosphere, John, you worked with Bart Cummins, and obviously the news has come through this morning. What are your immediate thoughts following the passing of the great man?
Well, he's just a legend, and those of us who are lucky enough to work for him, you know, got to work with a living legend, and you know, you'll always be indebted to the knowledge that he passed on to us. And you know, it was always an enjoyable time working for him. It was never boring.
Yeah, all right. It is very sad news, and we've got tributes from any number of people, listeners wanting to have their say this morning. But let's get to this horse that Ray talked about, not yet 3 years of age, Exosphere. Huge win yesterday, and the manner of the win, I think, was exciting as well, John.
Yeah, mate, he's always been a talented horse, Jimmy, and he's just probably grown into his big frame a bit. And, you know, as he gets a bit older and stronger and able to carry himself a lot more, it's sure he'd be a lot more effective.
Yeah, John, can you hear me now?
Yeah, mate, I got you right.
Yeah, good morning, John. Yeah, if I could just go back to Bart Cummings. You worked with him when you first came to Sydney, John?
Yeah, I did 2.5 years ago in TJ, and then had the luxury of spending a bit of time with Bart. He was kind enough to give me a job for a period of time, and Sean DeWy was a foreman there then. And,
yep.
Yeah, look, it's just a great time, because he always wanted you to think like him. Mm-hmm. You know, he was never one of those trainers that didn't want you to learn from him, and he felt that the stable ran a lot more effective if we knew exactly what he was thinking, or tried to think anyway. So, he was forever imparting knowledge. I'd love to sit down at 5 o'clock of an afternoon and have a scotch, or we'd have a Coke and he'd have a scotch, and we'd just talk about things and horses, and he was fantastic.
Mm. Is there any particular piece of advice, John, that you remember to this day that you put in action at Godolphin from Bart Cummings?
I just to be patient. You know, like he always says, patience doesn't cost you any money.
Yeah.
So, when I first started here, it was sort of very tough and hard, and I just, always tried to stay a bit focused and remember that if I took my time, eventually it'll work itself out. It's starting to do that now.
Mm. John, just finally on Bart, he wasn't one to waste words, was he?
No. I can remember one day, Ray, we were standing under the hut. I was actually working for TJ at the time, and we were legging Shane Dye on a horse. We had two horses left to work. Bart was just sort of mulling around, sort of watching things work out. And we had two horses left, and Shane Dye yelled out to TJ. He said, "Which one do you want me to jump on, Mr. Smith?" And Bart said from the under the hut there, he said, "Have a leg over both, son. You think you're smart enough."
That's typical Bart Cummings. He was so quick with the one-liners. John, as I mentioned earlier, the two winners yesterday, super impressive. Exosphere, I think what impressed most yesterday was how quickly he rounded up. Only a small field, but there was some pretty smart three-year-olds there. He's got an electrifying turn of foot, John.
He does, right, for a big horse. Mm. He can really reel off the sections, but been a trademark of, of his wins earlier as his two-year-old career is the sectional times that he can reel off over the last 600. And, I sort of had in my mind that possibly he was a sort of sprinting horse and 7 furlongs to pull him up. But yesterday was the first time I felt that, if he was going to be able to run the Guineas distance, it would be due at this time of year. So we'll get through the Golden Rose and sit down and give some thought to, where we go with him after that. But, he's got plenty of options, and I think he'd be very effective down the straight. I think he'd be awfully effective at weight for age this time of year because he's such a big, powerful horse. And, he gets 6 kilo weight advantage, So there's a few options for him, and I'm just going to try and win a group one with him initially, and then we'll worry about all that stuff after.
John, has the size of the horse presented its own problems at different stages? I think Ray mentioned that he's 600 kilos and not yet 3 years of age.
Well, it hasn't, Jimmy. It's quite bizarre. That's why when we were getting him going last year, I sort of never anticipated that he would be going to the races or, racing at this stage of his career. But, he just kept telling us that he was happy to, go to the races. He went through his first trial. He went through his first race. And, so we just let him tell us what, where he was happy and what he was doing.
Mm.
John, the other winner yesterday was Magic Hurricane, and I think this will also be a really strong form race, the Premier's Cup. He cleared out with Silver Ball. They're both very nice horses, and Magic Hurricane, he's a stayer, but blessed with a turn of foot, John.
Yeah, he's a really talented little fella, eh? And we've got a couple by his stye, Hurricane Run, and in Havana Cooler and Magic Hurricane, so they seem to be horses like to settle back and show a good turn of foot, and to keep them sort of big and burly and fresh, and that they're quite stout horses, so they don't need to be worked in the ground. And if you've been looking after them, they sort of show a nice turn of foot. So look, he's got a good future, I think. I think that next year he'll sort of be a lovely horse at 2,000 metres of weight for age because he can sprint. He's just got to learn to carry the weight, which I'm sure he'll do as well. But at this stage, he's down the weights and the handicaps, and we've
got to go that way.
Yeah, we've got to go that way.
Now, this might be an obvious answer, John, and I think Malcolm Johnson would love this question from me, but I'll ask it anyway. a breeding operation like Godolphin, why do you import a horse, a gelding like Magic Hurricane, as a runner?
Well, I think you've got to remember, Jimmy, Godolphin's a racing operation. The breeding side's Darley, and ultimately the
right
horse racing.
Okay.
So, if he can get winners in major races anywhere throughout the world, it's about promoting his brand and promoting Dubai. And you need to separate the two things. The breeding operation's Darley side and the racing operation's Godolphin. And,
okay.
The boss buys horses all throughout the world to win good races. And so consequently, this is a new focus to win, big races in Australia. It's a great vote of confidence in the Australian racing industry.
So what would Magic Hurricane's big grand final be then?
If he can be competitive in the Metrop, we'd be really happy, to win
right.
Strong Group 1 mile and a half race in Sydney this time of year.
And
never know what might happen next year.
Right.
And on that theme of imported horses, John, just finally, your two big guns, Contributor back at Moonee Valley next week and Hartnell back at Royal Randwick.
Yeah, we've got a very nervous 7 days out of Australia, keeping them all in one piece, and keeping them happy and healthy and sound. So it's an exciting time. Both horses look to be going well, and in races where they're going to be very competitive. And if they do happen to get, you know, to their grand finals, we'll have some nice races in, you know, Cox Plates and Melbourne Cups, which will be really exciting for the boss.
John, JT made an error last night.
First one in 13 years, Jimmy.
He's human, John.
It was unbelievable. Well, they'll be all right. They're travelling all right, those Cowboys, which I know you do love them. Mate, we've got to go. We've got American Pharoah about to jump over at Saratoga. Appreciate your thoughts this morning. Appreciate your time and most of all your insights on the passing of JB Cummings.
Thanks, boys. Have a good morning.
Thanks, John.
There he is, John O'Shea. A couple of winners yesterday, Exosphere and Magic Hurricane, two very impressive winners. So we're not far away, Raymond, from a start over there at Saratoga. Just we're trying to get some prices there for the Golden Rose. Vancouver, Exosphere, Press Statement, they're all there. Market suspended at the moment. Market suspended, so we haven't got any prices for you there. Japanese Me, which was probably a little disappointing yesterday.
He was. Might have come to the end of it. I can tell you Vancouver's into about 270 favourite for the Golden Rose, top of my head, Jim.
Right.
He'll trial on Tuesday, Jim, as part of his preparation towards the Golden Rose. Exosphere was $9 into $6, equal second favouritism. With Press Statement, he ran second yesterday, Jim. I wouldn't be selling him short heading towards the Golden Rose. It was a lovely comeback run by him. They're moving in now for the Saratoga Stakes. Here we are, Jimmy, American Pharoah, $1.04 at the moment, and it should really be a walk in the park for the great horse.
You would think so. $1.04 at New South Wales. You can get fixed odds, $1.25.
Yeah.
So there you go. And the other runners that are around some value, Texas Red at $7. That's number four, Texas Red. And number six, Frosted.
You just want him to keep winning, don't you?
He's at $9. But, yeah.
Just for the legend of American Pharoah, you want him to keep winning. So, looks like they're almost ready to go here, Jim.
And we have got the start over there at Saratoga, which we're just having a few technical issues here. I can tell you that American Pharoah...
Do you want to try and call this, Jim, do you?
No, I don't. I can tell you that American Pharoah has jumped to the front. Raymond?
He's cruising as he always does. Frost is lobbed into second spot. I wanted to be a race call when I was a kid, Jim.
Did you? There you go. Yeah. Well, here you go. Here's your chance.
I'll tell you what. Embarrass myself.
There's three or four horses that are five and six wide.
Here we are. I think we're going to cross now to Saratoga.
Third and Smart Transition is back to fourth. And then it's Texas Red and Keen Ice, a separation of five to mid-ocean. And it's a long way more back to the others. And they're followed by Taylor Ver, Fermento, and King of New York. And a Triple Crown winner moves on to the backstretch at Saratoga. American Pharoah is the leader. And Frosted is keeping him company up the backstretch. He's three quarters of a length behind him. And then it's Smart Transition, Upstart, right together. Keen Ice is fifth behind them. Kent DeSormo and Texas Red are six lengths behind American Pharoah, who continues to be pressed along by Frosted. And they went a half mile in 48-1. And at the half mile pole, these two are together. And they've gone three quarters in 111-2. American Pharoah by a head. And Frosted is taking it to him on the far turn. Frosted is right alongside of American Pharoah. And now Victor Espinosa has to ask American Pharoah to go. And Frosted continues to cling to him on the outside as they round the far turn. They're four lengths ahead of Keen Ice, and as they turn for home, American Pharoah has lost the lead at the top of the stretch. Frosted on the outside is now in front, but American Pharoah is battling on from the inside. He's showing all the spite with one furlong to run, and here on the far outside comes Keen Ice with a late threat. American Pharoah put away Frosted. He has to deal with Keen Ice. Keen Ice has got him. Keen Ice has won the Travers over American Pharoah in a dramatic upset. Frosted was third and Upstart was fourth in a final time of 201.57 seconds. The Graveyard of Champions has claimed another.
Oh, here you go, Jimmy. Just as we were talking up American Pharoah as the next Secretariat, He was taken on by a horse by called Frosted, threw out, put him under the gun on the home turn. He kicked away from Frosted. Then Keen Ice has swamped him late.
And got him on the post.
Heard the caller call it the graveyard of champions. A Travis Stakes has claimed another great horse. American Pharaoh's aura of invincibility, Jim, has been shattered.
Number 7, Keen Ice, the winner, $36 on the tab and $6.30 to place. American Pharaoh paying $1 for the place. And Frosted, number 6, was third, paying $2. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Back with your calls.
Are you ready to rock or will you fart? Be listening to the Big Sports Breakfast for your chance to win the ultimate Father's Day prize in the biggest rock competition of the year. When you hear the cue to call, be the first to call and answer two questions to put you in the running to win a trip for two to Perth, accommodation, transfers and limousine pickups to ACDC's Rock or Fast Perth concert. Thanks to Albert, Sony Music and the Van Egmond Group. Rock or bust on the Big Sports Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30. Right here on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. Full T's and C's on the Big Sports Breakfast website.
Z&Z Jewellers have been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches and rings. And they've been designing and making the grand final ring with passion for the last 17 years. So, if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, do what the NRL does. See, Alan spoke to Al during the week.
Yeah, to give you another watch? Or
what, hang on, what do you mean another watch?
You've got a couple, haven't you?
Just the one. Oh. At Z&Z, you've got to say, go and see Al at Westfield at Hurstville, or visit zedz.com.au, zedz.com.au. Proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and the St. George Junior Referees.
This is Silence is Golden, Volume 2. More hits from the original Chill Generation.
Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
Silence is Golden, Volume 2.
Baby Blue.
Out now.
We say honkers, most say Hong Kong. Now is your chance to experience a week you'll never forget with Ambassador Travel. World-class racing in private corporate facilities at Happy Valley on Wednesday night, and then the big one, the World Championships of Turf at Sha Tin on Sunday, December 3. In between, you can chill out in first-class accommodation or reel in the bargains and do the Christmas shopping or head to Macau. Why not play golf at Mission Hills or extend your trip to China? Call Ambassador Travel now, 1-800-777-989, or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Show, Jimmy, and race one yesterday.
Yep.
An exciting finish, and I know a man who was very happy to see Emerald City dig deep and pass what was a real stamina test was trainer David Van Dyke, who's been good enough to join us. David, good morning, and you've got this Emerald City in terrific form at the moment, Dave, and that was a really tough win yesterday.
Good morning, boys. Yes, I certainly was excited. I didn't give him much hope at the 300 when the favourite skipped away there.
Yeah, and he really had to dig deep. It was his first test at 2,400 metres, Dave, and I know it was a slow tempo early, but the leader did put two lengths on him.
He did, and I tried him as a younger horse over 2,300 at Newcastle, and he only went fair that day, but he's by Bernardini, and he's a slow maturing type. He's a half to Destiny's Kiss. It's won over 2 miles at Randwick, so we always intended to give him another crack over a bit further at some stage. And I was in two minds about accepting Wednesday morning because I didn't want to run him on anything worse than a soft seven.
Mm-hmm.
So the few days of good weather certainly played into our hands. And also, you know, the closing sectionals were very very sharp. 34.67 was quicker than the last 600 in the 1100 yesterday.
So, David, that's very pleasing on a number of levels. What? How disappointing is it the fact that, from a staying point of view, where do you go for your next race, and what sort of program can you give a horse like Emerald City?
Well, he's sort of in a difficult zone. He'll probably be about a 77, 78 rater after yesterday. The only races on the horizon over 2400 are, there's a 75 in 11 days at Warwick Farm now. He backed up 10 days after his tough Canterbury win, and yesterday was another tough run, so I'd be very hesitant to run him in 11 days with 60.5 kilos, although there is the option of claiming, but I wouldn't be confident that he's an apprentice's horse, because he is quite tricky, and Jason's just got the key to him at the moment. He knows to time his runs. He knows that the horse will switch off when he gets his head in front, which he did yesterday and also at Canterbury. The other options for us, of course, we've got to wait 3 weeks till the Newcastle Cup, and or go the extra week to the Colin Stevens, and they're both stakes races. He'll get in on the limit, but so he should, really. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, he was just the average midweek horse.
Yeah,
he's certainly coming through the grades, Dave, and no doubt owner Nick Moraitis is feeling a lot better now, Dave, after you would have watched Emerald City yesterday. I know he wasn't on track. You told me he hasn't been well, but that would have given him a good pick-me-up yesterday.
Oh, my word. There's no greater tonic for any of us than winning. Yes, he was over the moon, and he's only got the one horse in work with me at the moment. And we sold the Great Mare Arabian Gold earlier this year, so we were looking for another one that could give us a bit of excitement and a good season. And this boy's stepped up to the plate right at the right time, and I'll go and see Nick this afternoon, and we'll have a chat about this bloke. And it is a good problem to have, you know, being having won two races and looking seriously at stakes races.
That's great. Dave, sorry, we're chased by the time here. We have to let you go, but as always, we certainly appreciate your time early on a Sunday morning.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, David Van Dyke there, the trainer of Emerald City. Very impressive, but a little bit frustrating about where that horse goes next for a race over that distance. Time now for the scratchings for the racings around New South Wales. Good morning for the first time to Tanya.
Morning, Jimmy. Nearly forgot your name there. You're away for 1 week and then
hey, you put my name on the microphone.
I did, just in case you forgot.
Yeah, there you go.
Racing today at Wyong and Maruya. We'll start off with Wyong, where the weather is fine. The track is soft 5. The rail is out 2 metres the entire circuit, and there are 10 scratchings. Out of the first, take number 3, Tomiko, 3 from race 1. Race 2, number 3, St. Austell, 7, Crystal Bear, and 9, Lightning Rock, 3, 7, and 9. Race 3 is clear. Race 4, number 4, Monsieur Affair, and 9, Thought Police, 4 and 9 from race 4. Race 5 is clear. Race 6 takes 7, Malibu Stacy, 7 from race 6. Out of the 7th, number 1, Adorabile, and 8, Testolina, 1 and 8. And out of race 8, take 3, Ergo, 3 from race 8. To Maria. Where the weather is overcast, the track a soft 7, the rail true, the penetrometer 5.05 and just 6 scratchings. Out of race 1, take Lord Carter. Lord Carter out of race 1, that's number 1. Race 2, take 5, Pose Time, 5 from race 2. Out of the 3rd, number 5, Adolescent, 5 from the 3rd. Race 4 is clear, as is race 5. Go to race 6, take out 7, Deb's Hope, 7 from the 6th. And out of race 7, number 1, Class Clown, and 6, Kentucky Data, 1 and 6 from race 7. Over to you, Ray.
Yeah, and a couple of tips today, Tan. Race 1, number 1, Ambience Jimmy at Wyong is the bet of the day. You better jot this down, Jimmy.
I haven't got my form.
You go to the club this afternoon?
No, I'm not going to the club.
Okay, you're going to sit at home and have a bet?
Working.
Okay, well, you won't have a bet before you go to work.
Oh, gamble response. You're trying to force me into something here, aren't you?
This is a bet. I don't want you to ring back later on and say I forgot. Race one, number one, Ambience at Wyong.
Price?
It's about $2.50, but long, if it stays at that price, I'll be happy because it will be winning, Jim.
Okay.
And then down at Maruya, two good chances here. Race 5, number 1, Changing Notes is ready to win.
Yep.
And race 6, number 6, The Devil's Mark each way.
Andy Pascalidi's coming up after the 8 o'clock news, but there's news just ahead. Apparently we've got the quiz question incorrect. Raymond?
No, well, I did. I said Gala Crest. Red Crest, of course, was a horse who was challenging and headed red-handed.
The Big Sports Breakfast News for Toyota Material Handling.com.au. Australia's first choice in forklifts.
On Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One, Channel 519. The Big Sports Breakfast News.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Legendary racehorse trainer Bart Cummings has died at the age of 87 in Sydney. Cummings' son, Anthony, tweeted the news of his father's passing in the early hours of this morning. He said his father had died peacefully in his sleep, surrounded by family. Australian journalist Peter Grester is expected to speak today about the 3-year sentence handed down by an Egyptian court to him and two colleagues for supporting terrorism. Mr. Grester slammed the verdict shortly after it was announced last night, saying he, Canadian national Mohamed Fahmy, and Egyptian producer Bayer Mohamed had done nothing wrong and were convicted purely because of politics. The three men were charged with airing falsified footage intended to damage national security and with being part of ousted President Mohamed Morsi's Muslim Brotherhood, which is considered a terrorist organisation, after the upmarket hotel suite being used by Al Jazeera to report from in Egypt was raided in 2013. Mr. Grester has told Al Jazeera he will continue to fight to clear his name and those of his colleagues. Thousands of anti-government protesters have gathered in Kuala Lumpur demanding the resignation of the Malaysian Prime Minister. Najib Razak denies allegations of corruption sparked by a $700 million payment made to his bank account from unnamed foreign donors believed to be in the Middle East. Despite a police ban, a 2-day rally against the government is going ahead, with one protester telling the BBC democracy is dead in Malaysia and calling the government thieves.
The economy is in debtors. The democracy is gone in this country. There's no freedom of anything in this country. The current government is robbing the nation of everything it has got.
A Texas sheriff's deputy has been shot from behind while stopping to refuel his patrol car. Police say the gunman came up from behind and opened fire on 47-year-old Darren Goforth at a petrol station in Houston on Friday night. A suspect is in custody over the shooting. Turkish fighter planes have for the first time participated in US-led coalition airstrikes against Islamic State targets in Syria. Turkey last month launched what it called a war on terror on two fronts, against Islamic State jihadists and also against Kurdish PKK rebels. Thai police say a Turkish man arrested in connection with the bombing of a Bangkok shrine 2 weeks ago was probably motivated by a personal grudge. The National Police Chief said the 28-year-old was unlikely to be an international terrorist but didn't give further details. The man, the first to be arrested over the bombing in which 20 people died, was arrested in eastern Bangkok after police raided a flat. Four suspects have been remanded in custody by a Hungarian court over the deaths of 71 migrants found in a truck abandoned on an Austrian motorway. The three Bulgarians and one Afghan will remain in custody until the end of September, while prosecutors decide what to charge them with. Police say the men are likely to be low-ranking members of one of the many people smuggling gangs which prey on migrants wanting to get to Western Europe. Also in news, a 4-year-old girl is fighting for her life in hospital and her two siblings are recovering after allegedly being doused in petrol and satellite in Perth. And the ACT government has called on authorities to restrict the airspace above Canberra's prison so drones cannot be used to deliver contraband to inmates. This is Air News. Port Adelaide coach Ken Hinckley refuses to wonder what might have been despite the power finding form after dropping out of the AFL finals race. Port cruised to their 5th win in 6 games when they downed the Suns by 37 points on the Gold Coast. Hinckley says he's proud of how his players have responded since they crashed out of the top 8 calculations. Meanwhile, outgoing interim Carlton coach John Barker believes some of the Blues haven't done enough with the opportunities presented to them by the ailing AFL club's massive list of unavailable players. A vastly understrength Blues side with 19 players missing was outscored 15-3 in the second half by GWS Giants in an 81-point away loss in Sydney. Australia's Jared Talent has claimed the silver medal in the 50-kilometre walk at the World Athletic Championships in Beijing in what he describes to the ABC as very hot conditions.
Very satisfying. I had a tough preparation leading up. Earlier in the year, wasn't travelling that well, so to come through get a silver today. I'm really, really stoked, really, really happy. It was brutal conditions out there. It was pretty much just like walking in an oven.
Talent, who's now managed podium finishes at the last three world titles, crossed the line in a time of 3 hours, 42 minutes and 17 seconds to give Australia its second medal of the meet. Also in sport, Cronulla has climbed into the NRL's top four after sneaking away from Parramatta with a 35-28 win, while the Bulldogs beat the Knights 20-18 at Hunter Stadium but lost halfback Trent Hodgkinson with suspected ligament damage to his wrist. Australian Independent Radio News.
Where it's moving and where it's not. Sydney traffic on the Big Sports Breakfast.
Good morning. It's certainly not moving very quickly between Marsh Street, Arncliffe and the Sydney International Airport Terminal at Mascot. And at Mount Colo, we've got a car versus motorcycle accident, Pacific Highway at Northumberland Avenue. If you're making for Newcastle this morning around the Warners Bay Spears Point area, the Esplanade closed between King Street and Five Islands Road for the Lake Macquarie Running Festival. This Wednesday at Aldi, get 50 mils of face mousse, $24.99, serum concentrate, $24.99, and cleansing mousse, $19.99, while stocks last. That's the latest traffic, number one in racing, Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Coming cloudy, 20% chance of a shower along the coastal fringe. Thank you. 0%
chance elsewhere. So becoming cloudy, 20% chance of a shower. Winds south to southwesterly, 20 to 30 kilometres an hour. Large and powerful surf conditions are expected to be hazardous for coastal activities such as rock fishing, swimming and surfing. A maximum of 19 degrees in Sydney. Raymond, Liverpool.
In Liverpool, Jimmy, a lovely 19 degrees as well.
Here we go. Oh!
Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. Andy Pascalidis very shortly from the world of football. Sam Clipperton, a couple of winners for Sam at Rosehill Gardens yesterday. We'll have our second tab voucher question. Zorba Zappa will be up, the big man with that. We'll also go inside the Sharks camp after that narrow victory over the Parramatta Eels yesterday at Pertec Stadium. But just getting back to our tab voucher question, we've had a few SMS come in on this, Roman. Correction, Ray. Red-handed beat Red Quest in 67, and then this one. See here, Jimmy, the quiz question is wrong. The horse Red-handed fought back to beat in the 1967 Cup was Red Crest, not Gala Quest. What do I win? Steve E. from Lumia. Well, Steve, okay. My enduring respect.
King of Country, CD for Steve.
You reckon?
Yeah, why not?
Just for that? Picking us up on errors?
No, that's okay.
Doesn't change what went through Roy Higgins' head.
Yes.
Does he? Doesn't say what, change what Roy said to himself.
Red Crest had gone past Red Handed.
Right.
Past the clock tower, the famous clock tower at Flemington. And then Roy Higgins thought to himself, and that is the quiz question.
Right, that's the quiz question. So it still stands. So second quiz question coming up throughout the course of this hour as well. Lots to get through from the world of rugby league, which you haven't touched on much at all this morning. Mm-hmm. Outstanding performance from the Broncos on Thursday night.
Wow. Jeez, how brilliant to what Milford. What a player.
Absolutely. And Corey Oates' try. I mean, that's as good as you'll see.
Kick. Yeah, it was outstanding.
Just so exciting. The Roosters made a statement on Friday night as well. So the two sides there that I think will play the grand final, the Broncos and the Roosters, doing a big job. Sharks got the win against the Eels. The Bulldogs got home just against the gallant Knights. And the Storm too strong for the Cowboys, 14 points to 6. We've got the West Tigers up against the Warriors today. The Titans and the Dragons a little bit later on this afternoon. And then the Raiders and the Panthers on Monday night. But just getting to the West Tigers. A lot of talk this week, Ray, about their decision to allow Robbie Farah to look elsewhere. People saying it's salary cap pressure and what why they are doing it. Let me tell you that Robbie's manager, Sam Ayoub, knew 6 weeks ago that the Tigers wanted to move Robbie Farah on, understood why they wanted to do it, and wanted to, out of respect for Robbie, sit down in a room with Sam and Robbie and talk him through that decision. Now, Sam Ayoub, his manager, said, no, I want the opportunity to set up an opportunity for Robbie inside the NRL or in England that would allow this to be a seamless transition and not blow up into the furor that we currently have. Unfortunately, that couldn't happen. So as of this week, news was leaked out that the Tigers had asked Robbie Farah to look elsewhere. It has become ugly for the club, but let me state here right now, it is not related to salary cap pressure.
Can you clear up exactly what Robbie Farah was on then, Jim? Many different reports over the last week about what he was on per year.
I don't know what he was on.
Up to $950,000 I read on various reports.
From what I understand, he'll be earning over $2 million over the next 2 years. And he will earn $2 million over the next 2 years, no matter where he plays, whether it be in the NRL, whether it be in English Super League, or indeed in the New South Wales Cup. He's got a contract that says he will earn that amount of money. But as I said, it's not about the salary cap. What it is about is the culture of the club and the leadership of the West Tigers. It's a line in the sand that Jason Taylor and the management team have drawn there, and they say, in their mind, the best way to move forward is to do it without Robbie Farah. And as upsetting as that is for Robbie, who has undoubtedly given his heart and soul for that club, has been a true warrior for them. He's won a competition for them. He's played State of Origin out of that club.
And wanted to stay there until the end of his playing days.
Yes, yes.
You say with some scepticism there?
Well, you know, sometimes you've got to see the writing on the wall and look at your opportunities elsewhere. And to be honest, I have no doubt that Robbie Farah will go somewhere else in the NRL or the English Super League. And I have no doubt either that Robbie Farah will continue to play good football.
What did you make of Laurie Daly's comment that he'll pick Robbie Farah out of reserve grade next year at Origin if that was the case?
Yeah, Laurie's entitled to his opinion and entitled to do what he likes with the New South Wales side. And I'm not going to second guess what Laurie Daly wants to do, but I thought it was a strange comment. Mm. I thought it was a strange comment. But we'll take your thoughts on that. 13:53:53. From that alone, that's going to be an extraordinary game out there. The West Tigers up against the Warriors. It's at Campbelltown Stadium, a 2 o'clock kickoff. We've had some extraordinary results from the world of Premier League football. And to go through all of them, he'll be cock-a-hoop this morning. Here's West Ham, a massive win over Liverpool. Oh. Good morning to Andy Paskalidis.
I'm forever blowing bubbles everywhere.
That's a massive win, Andy.
Would you know, on the punting club, Jimmy, we were there on Friday. There was no way you could predict, you know, an unbeaten start by Liverpool, not conceding a goal against a West Ham side. They've never lost at home in the Premiership and beyond. It's 52 years since West Ham has won at Anfield. And
wow.
And I'm a devotee of, obviously, I have been since I was 9 years old, and I just didn't see this coming. I saw two lackadaisical performances after dusting Arsenal 2-0 in their own backyard. So they've done it to Arsenal, and they've done it to Liverpool, and it's round four.
Extraordinary. Andy, I'm a Liverpool man. I couldn't believe they hadn't conceded a goal, he said, in the first three games. They might have been lucky in that 0-0 draw against Arsenal, but that was a game they would have banked as 3 points. Chelsea, they're off to a rocky start in their Premiership defence.
Absolutely. Chelsea now find themselves 8 points adrift of the only side that have got a maximum 100% record in Manchester City. So they're on 4 points. Mourinho, the pressure will certainly mount. They're not supposed to lose against teams like Crystal Palace, who, courtesy of that victory, have jumped up to third position with 8 points. And credit to them. They've had to 9 points, rather. They're in second position behind Man City, so they've had 3 wins. What I liked about this performance was Bukari Saka. He's one of the finds of the season. He scored the goal and set up the winner in the 81st minute, but Mourinho made 3 changes after the first goal. Falcao did equalise, but this is their first home loss at the Bridge against Palace since 1982.
All right, now a couple of games to go in this round of EPL. Southampton versus Norwich and then Swansea up against Man U.
And that could be a scary assignment for Man U given what we've seen today, Jimmy. I mean, I've got to point out that Swansea beat Man United last season 2-1 on both occasions. United have only beaten them once in the last 4 attempts, but I'm still going to go for United, but would not be surprised if it was the the draw into Man U, that they could hold them at halftime and Man U overrun them in the second half. And if they do that, Man U will jump up to 10 points and into outright second position and maintain an unbeaten start in the Premiership.
Andy, some good news overnight for some Socceroos. Tom Rogic and Matthew Leckie both scoring overseas.
Absolutely. I've done my homework today and good things to report with a team assembling later today in Perth for the game against Bangladesh, the World Cup qualifier. Leckie, stunning free kick in the derby in the Bundesliga. Ingolstadt winning 1-0 against Augsburg. Now, they're coming seventh, but they're 3 points adrift of Bayern Munich. Bayern dusted Robbie Kruse's team today 3-0. Robbie had a goal disallowed for handball in the 72nd minute, which is a bit of a shame. They were down three at that time. Ben Halloran saw some game time. He's been called into the Socceroos squad. But Tom Rogic, his second goal. Celtic first in the Scottish Premiership, 1 point adrift of 1 point ahead of Aberdeen and Hearts. And Jackson Irvine from Ross County and Ryan McGowan from Dundee United played against each other today. Ross County got up 2-1. They'll join forces in camp in the next 24-48 hours. And Massimo Luongo set up a winner for Queen's Park Rangers away at Huddersfield. So they're travelling nicely at the moment. They're on 10 points with Hull and Ipswich, 3 points behind Brighton. And Ipswich have signed Tommy Orr on a 2-year deal. So it's a very, very busy time for our Socceroos.
Andy, are we underappreciating what Tommy Rogic is doing? Celtic are a massive club. You could argue one of the two biggest clubs in Scotland, undoubtedly. But I think he was man of the match a couple of games ago. Now he's scored a winner. He was always destined to be a star, and finally he's getting some game time over there.
And we'll get a good chance to have a look at how he's travelling against Bangladesh next Thursday night and then away from home in our third World Cup qualifier. But look, vitally important because the golden generation, as we know, is no longer.
Yeah.
The only one that's still there is Timmy Cahill and, of course, Mile Jedinak. But Mile's injured at the moment and not a regular starter, sadly, the Crystal Palace captain. So Rogic is the man, I think, that can take the baton now. We need those midfield creative players. We've had them in the past, the Jason Kalinas, the Mark Brescianos, but we need creativity in the midfield. And we've got a couple of young boys coming through the system at the moment doing a great job. And let's not underrate what Mark Nevigan has done. He spent a few years here playing in the A-League with Melbourne Victory, but he's always delivered. He's always delivered at the top end.
Andy, fantastic. Great work this morning. Well done, West Ham. And we'll speak again next Sunday morning.
We will indeed, and for anyone listening out there who wants to go out and have a good time today, let's go Greek Festival at Parramatta. I'll be there all day.
Okay. Sounds fantastic.
Andy.
Good on you, Andy. 1353 53 is the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well, 0419-SMS-BSB. That's 0419-767-272. And, of course, you can send the tweets in as well at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After that break, we'll chat with Sam Clipperton.
Sky Sports Radio brought you all the action of Greyhound Racing's national championships from Wentworth Park.
But the golden girl of Greyhound Racing coming away. Sweet It Is brilliant.
Sweet It Is was incredible. And so too sprinting sensation Fernando Bale, who led all the way to be crowned national sprint champion. Catch Greyhound Racing every day on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Paul Simon, The Ultimate Collection.
I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me out.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know.
Graceland, Graceland. By the night.
The music of Paul Simon. Beautiful. Brilliant. Timeless. Paul Simon, The Ultimate Collection. Out now.
Jimmy, most say Hong Kong, we say Honkers, because now is your chance to experience a week you'll never forget with Ambassador Travel. World-class racing.
Ever been?
Not to the International Day, no.
Right, but you have been to racing in Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it is world-class racing, and the private corporate facilities are happy. You've been to Happy Valley.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, track, fantastic.
On that, that's on the Wednesday night. And then the big one, Jim, the World Championships of Turf at Sha Tin on Sunday, December 13. In between, you could chill out in your first-class accommodation or reel in the bargains and do the Christmas shopping or head to Macau for the casinos.
Mm. Mm.
Or why not play golf, which you've done?
Yeah, freezing.
At Mission Hills, was it?
Oh, freezing.
Was it? Or you can extend your trip and explore China. So much to do. Call Ambassador Travel now on 1800 777 989 or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
Here's a thought for anyone renovating or building a new home.
Take a closer look at your design.
Visually, what do you think is the single most important purchase you'll make when building or renovating your home?
Windows and doors, of course.
You look through them every day. Make sure you don't look past them. They bring in light, airflow, and can assist with heating and cooling your home. Pretty important, I'd say. Wideline Windows and Doors have been manufacturing aluminium and timber windows and doors for over 40 years.
Make sure you take a closer look.
Wideline. Showrooms in Parramatta, Tuggerah and Broadmeadow near Newcastle.
Battle as they travel to the turn, and Spurtonic just leads from Kapoor. Silver Ball moves up three deep. Beyond Thankful looking for the run on the inside, and Magic Hurricane to the outside. As Kapoor races up to join Spurtonic, Silver Ball makes his move, and Magic Hurricane starting to chime in from the south. Silver Ball hits the lead. Magic Hurricane's driving hard on the outside. It's Silver Ball and Magic Hurricane. Silver Ball and Magic Hurricane. There's nothing in it. Magic Hurricane sweeping, and Magic Hurricane got up to beat Silver Ball. Kapoor ran third from Beyond Thankful, then Spurtonic, Disclaimer, and Bricketton was last in.
Terrific race of Premier's Cup. I think the form will really stand up, Jim. They were two really promising stayers. Magic Hurricane getting the better of Silver Ball in a tight finish. The first of a stakes race double for Sam Clipperton for the Godolphin stable. He also won on Exosphere in the Run to the Rose. And Sam's been good enough to join us bright and early this morning. Sam, good morning. Terrific day. And Magic Hurricane in particular, it's a stay of real promise.
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Yeah, it was a great day, that's for sure, especially to get a, as you said, a stakes double for Godolphin and what it looks like on two very promising horses.
Yeah, let's go to the Magic Hurricane race, and it seemed that the two best horses in the race were Silver Ball and Magic Hurricane. Did you have your plans around that, Sam, or you're just waiting to see how the race unfolded?
Yeah, I was just more waiting to see how the race unfolded. Mr. O'Shea instructed me just to make sure he relaxes. Don't be riding too tactical on him. Just get in a relaxed travel and give him every opportunity to hit the line and utilise his good turn of foot. And as the race turned out, well, I couldn't have worked out any better for me. I got right on the back of Silver Ball and just stalked him the whole way. He towed me right into the race and we ended up fighting it out. It was a very good effort by my horse because Silver Ball actually sprinted really hard. And for my horse to really reel him in and get past him was an almighty effort. So now he's a very promising horse, and he's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Certainly, absolutely, Sam. And the fact that the two of them drew right away from Kapoor, who's a handy stayer, I think was indicative of both of their abilities. They both have a really good turn of foot, as you said, Sam. Silver Ball put a margin on you, but Magic Hurricane reeled you in. They look. Are they too brilliant to get 2,400?
Yeah, look, as you said, Magic Hurricane's got a brilliant turn of foot, and that's what something you don't really see in stayers because they got that stamina and they got to run the distance. But one thing Magic Hurricane has is stamina. He'll run all day, but he has that amazing turn of foot, and that's what's going to win him better races. And he's won a stakes race yesterday, and I think he's being aimed eventually at the Metropolitan. So, you know, he'll go into that race very hard to beat and one of the main chances.
Tell us about this horse, Exosphere. We hear how big
giant.
He is, 600 kilos. What does that mean from a riding point of view, Sam?
Well, he's a bit like a lounge chair. He's very very big and comfortable to sit on. He's an amazing horse. He's got a lot of presence about him. He walks into the yard just totally relaxed. You know, he doesn't exert any extra energy. He's just walking around there cool, calm, collected, and then he gets on the track and he knows what to do. He switches on, he travels, and he's got that lightning turn of foot. Yeah. He went past a small but very good field yesterday with relative ease under a big weight of 59. So, yeah, he's an amazing horse, a very exciting horse, and you know, it's going to be enjoyable to watch him go through the ranks.
He's not unlike his old man, is he, Sam Lonro? Lonro was exactly the same. He was casual and relaxed, but had just a brilliant turn of foot. 1,400 metres of the Golden Rose. Sam, any concerns at all for Exosphere?
Oh, not at all. Early in his career, he had a bit of a habit of going a bit too keen.
Mm-hmm.
In his races, he would sort of get out of the barriers and want to really get going. But John and the team have worked really hard on getting him to settle and fixing his racing manners. And yesterday he didn't put a foot wrong. He towed me around. He showed me where to go. So he relaxed beautifully. Sprinted hard off a nice genuinely run 1200. And I think once he gets to 1400, he's going to relish it even more.
And only got the ride after the James McDonald suspension too, so that's making every post a winner, as they say, Sam.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I'm very, very fortunate with the opportunities I get for Godolphin. James is obviously their number one rider, but I just enjoy working with such a big team and a global operation. It's quite a privilege to be a part of it, and you know, just to be able to get rides and put on the royal blue silks before each race is pretty amazing. So. Yeah, very privileged and working very hard, but getting a few rewards as well.
And speaking of which, Sam, I know you're right back to work today, and I've declared my best today is Ambience in the first, which is your mount at Wyong.
Yeah, she's a lovely filly, Ray. I remember I rode her in her first start at Newcastle, and she went down, got beaten the nose by one of Gaze, I'm pretty sure, but she's come back in good order. Mm. She's had two nice trials.
Are brilliant, yeah.
And, yeah, I think you know, she's going to be very hard to beat today, that's for sure.
No pressure, Sam. Ray's put his house on it, mate, but good luck with that.
Get it over the line.
No, you'll be right, Sam.
Good on you, Sam. Appreciate your time this morning. Good luck today and beyond.
No dramas. Thanks for having me, guys.
Sam Sleeperton there. A couple of winners. Impressive winners, too. Exosphere and Magic Hurricane yesterday. And now we've got the prices up for this Golden Rose, Ray, in a couple of weeks' time. Vancouver, 270, which is exactly what you mentioned. Exosphere, 550, along with Press Statement. You were impressed by Press Statement yesterday.
Horses, yeah.
Ready for Victory. Japanese out to $15. Raguse, $15. And Sebring Sun, $15 as well. 1353.53 is the open line number.
And just quickly, Jimmy, you did make mention of Boban winning the first Group 1 of the new season at Caulfield yesterday. Great Glenn Schofield ride. Chris Waller trained 14 Group 1 winners last season. Could he better that this season? He's off to a flyer, and Boban was great, edging out Entirely Platinum and Stratum Star.
Let's go to the open line. 1353.53 is that number. Mick is on the line. G'day, Mick.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good morning,
Mick. Well, mate.
I'd just like to share my thoughts this morning on the sad passing of Cummings.
Yes.
I just feel that since he's owned the Melbourne Cup, it would be, well, I would hope that on Melbourne Cup Day, before the race, they put a tribute on the big screen down there for him.
I'm sure they will, Mick. It won't quite feel the same, will it?
Yeah.
In recent years, we've always had a Bart Cummings runner, but it was a period there for a few years in the early 2000s when he didn't get a runner in the Cup, and it never quite felt the same. And you just want Bart there, and when you had So You Think lining up in 2010 as the favourite, everyone, I think, was cheering for So You Think.
He
sentimentally,
nearly got there, too,
nearly got
didn't
there.
He?
I think Bart's health was starting to fail then, wasn't it, Mick? And he ran a great race, So You Think.
Yeah, that's right. And I know that the tribute could, you know, you could really have one go for a long time, but I think it'd be fitting if they could make the time of that tribute to the same time as one of Bart's winning times of these horses that have won the Melbourne Cup.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. Mm. What does it take to run a Melbourne Cup? About two?
Well, his horse, Kingston Rule, holds the record, 316 and change, 316.3 by top of my head. So that's the record for a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
Good thought, Mick. Good on you, mate. Appreciate the call. We might have a CD that we can send out for Mick for that one. You got a CD you can give away there?
Yeah, you have to lean across and get them though, Jimmy.
Okay, well, you lean across and get them, Ray, and I'll pad over here whilst you do that. Zorba coming up very shortly as well. What CDs do we have,
Ray? What about Science is Golden Volume 2 from the original Chilled Generation? What's the Chilled Generation?
Well, you tell us. What's some of the songs on the back there?
Oh, American Pie's on there.
Oh.
So straight away, it's caught my attention.
Right.
On the Road Again, like we'd start. We could break out into song in a second, Jim.
But we won't. 1353.53 is the open line number. Look, lots of SMS coming in. Morning, boys. R.I.P. Bart Cummings. My favourite Bart memory was watching the Cup whilst working in Edinburgh In 1999, my Scottish boss asked me, who's the best trainer? And when I replied Bart Cummings, he duly told me that Rogan Josh would win. The rest is history. Mm. Regards, the Factor. Good on you, Factor. And then we get this. Hey, Ray, now that the top eight teams have been determined, it's good to see all the Seagulls bandwagon hoppers with egg on their faces. I'm elated. Next week, my elation will be complete when the most unsuccessful club in the history of rugby league, the Sharks, who have taken their supporters to the precipice of a top four, fall off the edge. The exquisite irony is that their tormentors will be Manly, who beat them in both their grand final appearances in the 1970s. The delusional Shark supporters, including Mrs. Don, will once again have their hopes crushed by the Seagulls. They will then limp out of the finals in a week one loss because, as I always tell Mrs. Don, zeros are never heroes, and there is no bigger team of zeros in rugby league history than the Sharks. Don from Sylvania.
Say what you think, Don. That mightn't be a pleasant household if when Mrs. Don Sharkies are going around the finals.
You, I think Don has massive, massive issues. Zorba next.
Spring is about to bloom, and that means one thing. Sorry, two things. TAB has opened fixed odds markets on the season's biggest racing features. Right now, you can grab some great early prices on the DeBortley Wines Golden Rose and some of the spring racing season's biggest group ones. Now you can't sneeze at that. Spring into action today. Head to your local TAB, tab.com.au, or visit us on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
For the past 5 years, we've told you about the exotic delights of Hong Kong. Here's your chance to sample the sights and sounds of one of the world's truly great weeks of racing with Ambassador Travel. And do it in style. Private boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday night. While on Sunday, you're off to Sha Tin for the four Group 1s in the climax of the Turf World Championships. In between, you can shop, cruise the harbour, head to Macau, play golf at Mission Hills, or just relax. Why not extend and take a trip to mainland China? If this sounds like the trip for you, call Ambassador Travel now. 1-800-777-989 or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
Time for our second question in the TAB voucher too. How long since West Ham have beaten Liverpool at Anfield? How long, and he told us, Andy Pascalidis, how long since West Ham have beaten Liverpool at Anfield? That is the second question. We think we've got that one right too. We're not sure. Nearly got the first one right, but we're pretty sure we got that second one right. I want to let you in on a bit of a secret, Raymond.
Yes.
And that is Coco Joy's range of all-natural coconut-based products. In fact, the newest arrival to the family, Coco Joy Coconut Milk, is already very, very popular. It's available in banana, coffee, and classic chocolate, and it's full of flavour, yet contains no dairy, gluten, or lactose. These are walking out the stores. You get them at the BPs, you know. I've got a mate of mine who pops into the BP every time, gets his Coco Joy.
And the stash that you get provided with still doesn't see its way into Sky Sports Radio's offices.
All my children are very hydrated, though. That's fantastic. Coco Joy Coconut Milk really packs a punch, and don't just take my word for it, Raymond. Give it a try now. Spend some of that money you're earning.
I like the Coco Joy water.
Well, spend some. You've got mountains you couldn't jump over with a run-up.
I haven't got your pay packet, Jimmy. Moss Trooper couldn't jump over yours.
Give it a try next time you're at your favourite store. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy. Check their range of products at cocojoy.com.
Silence is Golden, Volume 2. More hits from the original Chill Generation.
Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
Silence is Golden, Volume 2.
Baby Blue.
Out now.
Coco Joy are proud to bring you this week's edition of Zorba Zappers. Coco Joy, we have everything coconut. Water, milk, flour, oil, and more. Here's Zorba.
It's a very solemn morning this morning. We've mourning the passing of the great J.B. Cummings, who I know Zorb will have a story about. We've mentioned Arthur Robert Morris, a great Australian opening batsman, the left-hander from the 48 Invincibles. And, of course, Alan Clarkson, widely respected
Alan Clarkson.
Rugby league writer and a well-known TV personality from the Controversy Corner era, who I'm sure Zorb would have worked with over the years. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. Yeah, it's a sad start to the segment, isn't it? But we've lost two amazing 80-year-olds this week with the passing of the veteran journalist Alan Clarkson and the legendary horse trainer Bart Cummings. I worked alongside Clarko for many years. He's a great man, wonderful journalist, loved his rugby league. His favourite player was Clive Churchill. He actually introduced me to Clive Churchill, and as a young journalist, I was starstruck. You know, he drove a cab in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, Clive Churchill, and what a wonderful man. Of course, he was the coach of South Sydney during the during their golden period in the late 60s and early 70s when they won premierships and had such a great side. And of course, Bart Cummings, well, as a punt drunk from primary school, I was always following his horses, and he was just an amazing man too on the very show that we're talking on now. Many times we interviewed Bart, and he was always hard to interview on radio, but he had amazing sense of humour and just, well, what a legend. Love the eyebrows.
Yeah, no, he's a great man, wasn't he? Alan Clarkson, Pete, a true gentleman of journalism, but he was around when you were playing, and did you have a chance to cross paths professionally in that capacity?
Well, I actually worked with Clarko. I worked as a young sporting journalist at the Sydney Sun down in Broadway, and we were on the same floor, just one desk away from Clarko, and we would often cross paths during the day. He'd be starting work when I was finishing, and it was great to talk rugby league with him. And I appeared on Controversy Corner with him and Rex and all the boys during a period there.
Yeah. They showed some of those clips during the course of the week too. It's amazing how far television hasn't come.
Exactly right.
You know, they were pioneers.
That was a great show.
Yeah, absolute pioneers. Now, your mate Desi Hasler, is he blowing his stack again, Zorb?
Well, Des never does anything without a reason, and his statement that he may send the NRL heavyweight Todd Greenberg a breach notice was a real hand grenade. He didn't need to do it. He's obviously checked with the powers to be at the Dogs as to his reasons, because I reckon he's going to get fined for it.
Yep.
And there was no need for it. I mean, his side was gutsy. I don't think there's too many sides that would have overcome what they had to overcome last night in Newcastle. It was a torrid game to beat them on Old Boys Day up there with their great captain, Kurt Gidley, leaving the club in his 250th game. There was a big crowd there. They were baying for it. And few teams would have won. But they did. They got through it and won it, and yet Desi still threw the hand grenade. I'm perplexed. There's got to be a reason, and I don't know what it is, because, you know, they're going along great. They're in a good position.
Yeah.
He couldn't have them going any better. There was no need for it.
All Sydney Grand Final, Zorb. You think it's a possibility, given how good the Broncos were?
Well, Ray, this time last week we were talking about how lucky the Broncos were not to be 20 behind against the Roosters.
Yes.
And South Sydney, I don't think, really put up. South didn't play badly early, but everything went the Broncos' way. They'd been in camp in Sydney all week. Their halves were on fire. They weren't put under a lot of pressure in the game. I'm not convinced that that's a premiership. I'm not jumping on the Broncos bandwagon. Yeah. It's Dogs versus Roosters for mine.
Okay.
Although that injury to Trent Hodkinson could be a body blow for Desi Hasler. The Roosters have got awesome depth. They made Manly look like a park side on Friday night. My old mate Noel Cleal, who I reckon is still the best talent scout in rugby league, he says the size of the players' backsides and legs is what he looks at when he assesses players. And you look at the biggest bums and the biggest legs in rugby league, and it's the Dogs and the Roosters. And I reckon that's part of the reason why I'm going for them to fight it out. Gee, they were good the other night, the Roosters, to beat Manly. That's a record score against Manly at Brookvale Oval. It's the biggest hiding we've had in 52 years.
Wow.
Horrible way to send Jeff Toovey out of Brookvale Oval. But we look like a park side. It's probably why there's been the massive changes that are going to take place at Manly.
I think that the ability to defend you know, Manly looked dangerous at different stages, but the ability to defend and not give up a try is really important. That's what the Roosters do very well. It's a very interesting point that you make via Noel about bottoms and legs, and I maintain that rugby league players haven't got bigger, they've got heavier. If you, and a lot of that's to do with the biggest muscle in the body is the leg and the backside. I know Des Hasler talks a lot about that and used to talk about that even from back in his playing days. But I was amazed when you're out of the game for 10 years and then you come back and you see it a bit closer. Just the size of the quads on these guys. They're not bigger. Like, you know, we had big men back in the day, and like Norm Proven was a big man, but they were thin. They had no weight on them.
Yeah, exactly right.
These guys have got the weight on them. Speaking about the weight of expectation on Jared Hayne now.
It's not stopping him.
It's enormous. I've just been blown away with what he's done, Zorb. What can the future hold for the plane?
It's amazing, really. I mean, I've been in love with the NFL. It's my favourite sport, along with rugby league. I've been a 49ers fan for over 30 years since I met Joe Montana in Australia when he was doing a tour here, their greatest ever quarterback. And now I'm thrilled to be able to share the Niners with plenty of Aussies now. His decision to leave the NRL and chase his sporting dream, this kid was on, you know, over $1 million a year.
Yes.
One of the greatest players in our game. A real estate portfolio that anyone would be proud of. They tell me he loves the dollar. Well, there's going to be 12 million of them coming his way in a couple of weeks' time when he signs with the Niners. It's an amazing story to think that somebody can come straight out of the NRL, out of the top level of the NRL, and go over there and just in a couple of trial games, which they take seriously.
Yes.
It will be a movie. It'll be a story about this young man from Australia who chased his dream in a sport that he had he had knowledge of, but only via television and books.
Yeah.
And it'll finish up in a movie. Wow is all I can say. And if you follow the game, it is 10 times bigger than you could have imagined just reading it, and the number of Australians that can't get enough of it now. And it's an easy game to learn. People say, oh, it takes so long and there's so many rules. It's not. It's easy to pick up.
Yeah,
so that's a great news story, what's happening with Jared Hayne. What hasn't been a great news story this week for the game is the Paul Gallen situation. What do you make of this, Saul?
Well, I'm looking at it, and a lover of the game, there's something fishy about the allegations made against Paul Gallen. All of my inquiries to people in the Shire that say, look, Gal has got a short fuse. He's a tough man, but he's fantastic with kids. Everyone I speak to, he's always great with his interaction with fans. I think, stand by for more on this story. I don't know whether or not we're being given the whole story here. And it's up to the Sharks and it's up to the NRL. And we hear a lot about, you know, the NRL doing this and doing that. Well, this is vitally important now. That the captain of New South Wales, international player, the captain of the Sharks, it's important now that there is an independent inquiry into this. Sure, the Sharks have got to come up with their view, but I'm hearing that, and I've seen some evidence that on the night of the alleged, you know, spray by Gallen, that there was a tweet and a Facebook story that the kids were asleep in the car going back after a fantastic night at the Shark Park.
Yes.
So
yes.
If that was the case, then I'd put a question mark over that.
The response has been very strange from the person making the accusation, I think.
It's very confrontational.
Yes. Yes, and yeah, absolutely. But I totally agree with you. I thought it interesting that Lyle Gorman came out strongly in favour of Paul Gallen. And remember, they've had their issues with Gallen over the years.
Came
out very strongly in support of Paul Gallen. I think that was significant. We better get your zappers, Zorb.
Last week was a disaster, and I apologise.
No problem.
We had 5 out of 5, and then I've gone crash, bang, wallop. But I don't think I was the only one. Hopefully I can get back on the bike. I didn't talk about Robbie Farah today. Enough's been said about that. But I think it will inspire the Tigers today. And the Warriors have been the biggest disappointment of the competition, along with Manly. I'm going to go Tigers.
What are we doing? Tigers at the line?
Tigers at the line.
Yeah.
Into the Dragons. Too much to play for. Although I think it'll be a lot closer than everybody think.
Yep.
The Dragons at the Lions. I'm going to go for the Raiders to finally win a game at home against the Panthers at the line. All up. Let's hope we can get it up.
All right. So it's the Tigers minus 6.5. That's into $1.65. People agreeing with you there. The Dragons minus 6.5. That's into $1.80. People agreeing with you there. And Canberra, they're minus 5.5. They're at the $1.90 for the line. So $1.65 into $1.80 into $1.90. Zorb, that's your Zapper for this week. All courtesy of tab.com.au. And, of course, all money raised goes for that outstanding organisation, Men of League. Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
Okay, boys.
There he is. See you, Pete. Peter. Great to have him on the program. Call now. Do we want to take? We'll take our caller first, before we get our callers for the quiz. So we'll go to John on the line from Moorebank. G'day, John.
Good morning, Jimmy and Ray.
Hey, good morning, John.
Really well, mate. What do you got for us, John?
Yeah, it's a bit of a somber morning, like you said, with the passing of Bart Cummings, and I was just going to talk about Jarryd Hayne going on the back of what Peter said about his potential, and if he does make it, like they're talking this week of potentially $12 million and all that sort of that money he can earn. I think he's got the potential sort of like to advertise for Australia, like Paul Hogan did, and that sort of thing too. Like if I was Tony Abbott, I'd be getting onto our tourism minister, and
yes.
He's got he's a good style of a guy, he hasn't been in too much trouble. He dodged that bullet years ago at the cross, and all that sort of thing.
Literally.
That's right.
Yeah.
He could do a hell of a lot for this country of ours.
Yeah, good point, John. Jimmy, NRL, we tend to, without sounding too parochial, I think produce the best athletes. Will Jarryd Hayne be the forerunner of a number of NRL players going to the NFL?
It's a good question, Ray, and I think there are other players that could do it, but man, what a leap of faith.
Mm.
What conviction, what belief you have to have in yourself. Say no to, let's assume Jarryd was going to earn $1.5 million a year. You say no to $1 million a year here to go and try out over there. I mean, I think what we have to be careful of is understanding just what a special talent Jarryd Hayne is and the position that he plays.
It was a huge gamble he took
Also the position that he plays.
Yep.
I think that's significant as well. Call now, though. 1353-53 is the number. Call now if you'd like to be a part of the ZNZ quiz. ZNZ quiz. Remember, the winner will get a chance to win the watch of their choice in the team colours of their choice. Call now, 1353-53.
7 days a week, Sky Sports Radio has all the ingredients punters need to back that elusive winner. Every morning, get the scratchings, track reports, the all-important tips, and the market movers for all New South Wales meetings. The Early Mail. Catch at 10:30 a.m. daily on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Yeah, this is Men of Country 2015. Featuring Alan Jackson, Blake Shelton and Chris Young. 39 hits from the hottest men in country music. There's Johnny Cash, Lee Bryce and Adam Harvey. Plus Brad Paisley, Lee Kernighan. And heaps more. Take home the Men of Country 2015.
Jimmy, we've got to stop talking about it. We've got to just do it. And that's right. We've got a book now for the International Race Week in Hong Kong. It leaves on December 8. All the details are looked after by Ambassador Travel. It's first class the whole way. You wouldn't travel any other way, Jimmy.
Oh, that'll do. Mate.
And private corporate boxes just for you, mate, at Happy Valley.
Can you eat your body weight in prawns?
You can do whatever you want, Jimmy.
All right. Yeah. I'm in.
That's on the Wednesday night. But also, don't forget International Day at Sha Tin on the Sunday. There's sightseeing tours to Macau or venture up to Mission Hills for some golf to test the best. Is it a good golf course?
Oh, a spectacular golf course.
Get the weather. But
Oh, and the weather was fine until the sun dropped behind the mountains.
But the golf course is
dropped about 12 degrees in half an hour.
In between all this, Jimmy, you can grab all the bargains and knock over the Christmas shopping. You can also extend your trip to include mainland China.
Should we do the show from there?
Let's do it. You've got plenty of pull in this station. I'll leave that
all
to
right,
you.
All right, okay.
We'll be there. But otherwise, we can call Ambassador Travel now on 1800-777-989 or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio brought you all the action of Greyhound Racing's national championships from Wentworth Park.
But the golden girl of Greyhound Racing coming away. Sweet It Is brilliant.
Sweet It Is was incredible. And so too sprinting sensation Fernando Bale, who led all the way to be crowned national sprint champion. Catch Greyhound Racing every day on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. Time now to play the ZNZ quiz for the watch in the team colours of your choice. First on the line is Anthony from Yass. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning, Jimmy.
I reckon you're a previous winner. Is that right?
Yeah, I was. Middle of last year.
Yeah, yeah. And you're a Roosters man.
I am indeed.
Should wrap this up. No problem then. Okay, here we go. Question one. Who do the Panthers play in round 26 this year? Oh, bit different from producer Jeremy.
That is different. They play Canberra this week.
Yes, but we want to know who they play in round 26. Is it the Dragons, the Tigers, or the Knights?
Dragons, Tigers, Knights. I've got no idea, but I'll have a crack at the Knights.
Fortune favours the brave, Anthony. Well done.
Great.
Question two. Which player led the NRL in kicks in play heading into round 25? Was it Ben Hunt, Daly Cherry-Evans, or Jonathan Thurston?
Oh, they all love a kick. I think I will say Jonathan Thurston.
It was, in fact, Ben Hunt.
Surprised
Anthony,
that one, Jimmy.
Bad luck on that one. Question three. It's an all rugby league quiz, too. Well done, producer Jeremy. Finally, the message gets through. Which team was on top of the Holden Cup ladder heading into round 25? Was it the Broncos, the Cowboys, or the Panthers?
Again, I don't know. The Panthers are usually fairly strong in that, so I'll say them.
Yeah.
The Cowboys.
Seriously, you finish like Manly, Anthony.
I was pleased that we put the swords on anyway.
Yeah, well, that's right. Good on you. Cowboys was the correct answer. So one from three. And just a shout out to Gideon Mosby, who scored 30 tries in the Holden Cup. He is lightning fast, that guy. Over to you, Roman.
Okay, I've got Robert from St. Mary's. Robert, good morning.
How are you?
Yeah, terrific. Okay, one to tie, two to win, Robert. Best of luck. Who do the Eels play in round 26 this year? Is it the Raiders, the Warriors, or the Sea Eagles?
Who do the Eels play?
Yep, in round 26. Yep.
Internet not responding?
Did you want those?
Sorry, could you repeat the...
Do they play the Raiders, the Warriors, or the Sea Eagles in round 26?
Right.
The Warriors.
Incorrect.
It's the Raiders, Robert. Okay, we need this one to tie. Question number two. Which team led the NRL in line breaks heading into round 25? Was it the Broncos, the Roosters, or the Cowboys?
The Broncos.
Oh, pressure.
Okay, pressure's on, Robert. We need
Love
this one
tiebreaker.
Stay in the game. Okay, question number three. Which team was on the bottom of the Holden Cup ladder heading into round 25? Was it the Sharks, the Rabbitohs, or the Dragons?
The Rabbitohs.
He's pulled it out. Well done, Robert. Outstanding. The tiebreaker, Jimmy.
Tiebreaker, just what producer Jeremy didn't want. Okay, you go first, Robert, from St. Mary's. You go, Ray.
Robert, this is the question in the tiebreaker. What is Tiger Woods' current golf world ranking?
Robert?
120.
Okay, thank you. Stay on the line there, Robert. Now we're going to go back to Anthony from Yass. Anthony, what is Tiger Woods' current golf world ranking?
I will say 121.
Oh, too good. Too good. Congratulations, Anthony. Bad luck, Robert from St. Andrews. Anthony, okay, you got a Roosters watch last time. What are you going?
The answer was 257, Jim.
My brother would love a Roosters watch, so I'll grab one of those.
Another Roosters watch. Okay. They're very popular. Yeah, good on you. All right, you stay on the line. We'll get that out to you from ZNZ. Yes, the answer is 257. Mm. And as a clue, I was going to give that was my laundry number at school.
Oh, honey, you would know that, Jim. There's no clue.
No, there's one other bloke that knows it, which is a bit strange in itself. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take more callers after the break. So I'm just going to amend that score. I am now on 13. And Ray, you're on 8. Okay, you're on 8, I'm on 13, but the Sharks are in the 4, and that's very exciting for their supporters. They've got to face Manly next week to maintain that position. One of their best in the latter half of the season has been Michael Gordon, and he's been good enough to join us on the line this morning. G'day, Mick.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Yeah, morning, we're really well. Congratulations on the win. I tell you what, there was some nervous stages throughout the course of that game, and it seemed to be a high-intensity, high-quality game. Did you get that feeling?
Yeah, it was it was a perfect day for footy, and I think both teams played well and, you know, high completion rates, and they gave us a scare at the end there, but we were lucky enough to get the chocolate.
Yeah, Mick, it's like the Sharks after that stuttering start to the season. You've got a real belief now, and even in these tight games yesterday, as Jimmy, I was at the races, but Jimmy was at the game, and he said Parramatta had opportunities to win the game, but the Sharkies find a way to win now, Mick.
Yeah, we certainly give our fans a heart attack most games, and yesterday was no different. I thought our first half was outstanding, and you know they got a couple of lucky tries, and the second half, you know, they just had all the momentum. It was hard to stop, and you know we just sort of hung in there and hung in there, and we ended up coming over the top of them.
Mick, it wasn't that long ago that you were going to be in blue and gold, and obviously the club put a stop to that. I think you were sitting in a cafe at Parramatta waiting to go to training, and it didn't happen. Do you look back on that decision now or the decision that was made for you and think there might be a silver lining to all of this?
Oh, it was a difficult time at the time because a lot of the stuff that was going on I had no control over. So, I was just sort of sitting back trying to focus on footy as best I could, but there was all this stuff, reported in the media and all this stuff seemed to be happening that I had no control over. So I just thought, I'll just keep turning up the training and keep working hard and whatever happens, happens. And, obviously I'm still at Cronulla and, I've looked at it, but, I've had a couple of years here and I want to finish on a good note.
It's a credit to your professionalism, Mick, that you got through that period because it must have been a huge distraction. Obviously now a top four position is up for grabs. South and yourself a level now. How important is it to get into that top four position?
Oh, it's massive, and it's, we've been saying the old 1 week at a time, but it's hard not to look at the big picture. I think history shows, top four, you get two bites of the cherry and you give yourself a massive opportunity to get into that grand final.
The great coach Jack Gibson used to say that situations aren't nervous, people are. Valentine Holmes, he's done it now for you guys on three occasions, and it was the wobbliest, worst-looking field goal you've ever seen yesterday, but he just seems to be so relaxed in what he does. Mick, can you give us an insight into this young superstar in the making?
Oh, mate, he's just got such a level head on him, and, I think he loves having that, that pressure and that expectation that he's got to be the match winner, and we've sort of been practicing to set up to him, and the pass was actually meant to go to Jack Bird, and it still went to Val, and it was a wobbly old one, but, it goes through the post, it's still worth a point, so, it's a credit to him, and, he works hard at it. All the boys have got all the confidence in him.
It's an exciting blend of youth and experience in this team, isn't it, Mick? Players like Valentine Holmes, as Jimmy mentioned, Jack Bird's emergent this season. If you're someone like yourself who's got experience, it must be exciting to be alongside these young talents and watch them emerge week by week.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. We've got a lot of older players in our team, which is, it's good having such experience in the team, and then you throw in these young kids that they just don't seem to care about who they're playing or what the situation is. They just play footy and they play what's in front of them. And, it's pretty refreshing these days.
You've been at the club for a few years now, Mick. Have you noticed a change? There's new administration. The club's, from a financial point of view, in a lot stronger position than they have previously with the development that's going on down there. Do you get a different feel about Cronulla? Remember, this is the club that's never won a competition. Do you get a different feel and that maybe this could be the year?
Oh, yeah, it's hard not to get excited about it, but, there's been a lot of changes over the season, over the off-season of, administration, heaps of all new high-performance staff, new physio, stuff like that, and it's a credit to them because they put in so much hard work and it rubs off on the players because they see them working hard and it makes us want to work hard and get better and, everyone's just doing all the little things right at the moment and that's what you got to do, so we just got to keep working hard and keep ticking all the little boxes and hopefully get everyone fit and firing, coming into the business end of the season.
Mick, how deep can the Sharks go into September?
Yeah, it's a tough question. It's wide open. You look at the comp, like, you know, Cowboys, you know, they got beaten last night, and, you know, Brisbane and the Roosters, they just put on a clinic the other night. So, you know, you'd still think they're probably up there with the favourites. But, if we finish fourth and we play the Roosters or we play Brisbane, you know, we'll be full of confidence going into either game. So it's just, first we've got a big game against Manly, and if we can secure that fourth spot, then, it's wide open, definitely.
Massive game against the Seagulls. It's at Remondus next Sunday, 4 p.m. Should be absolutely jumping the joint down there. It'll be a huge game, Mick, and let's hope that it's a win for you guys. You can stay in the four, and who knows what's happened in the semi-final series. Great to speak to you this morning.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having us. Thanks.
Michael Gordon always conducts himself with class on and off the football field. You've got to remember that the Sharks have the Fifita brothers to come back in. I saw them there yesterday. They were laughing and joking as the players warmed up. So they'll be ready to go come the first week of the semi-final. So lots of good signs there if you're a black, white and blue fan.
They've got players who've been there and done that, haven't they, Jimmy? Like Mick Gordon, like Luke Lewis, like Paul Gallen, and they've got
Mick Innes,
and they've got these young players like Valentine Holmes. Oh. What sort of a talent is he, Jim?
He's a superstar. He really is a superstar.
He's electrifying, isn't he, to watch?
Yeah, you know, some people just win. Some people don't get overawed by situations. That's Valentine Holmes. Mm. If you'd have seen some of the tries he scored last week against the West Tigers and set up, special.
Yeah, and I love Jack Bird's football brain. He's got a great sense of where he is in a football field and where his support players are.
Dave Riccio coming up next. We'll have a chat with Trent Lanscale and Leon Cameron, the coach of GWS, all in the next